Good morning, River Church family. Happy Sunday. I don't know if I can say Happy New Year. I don't know when in January it's appropriate not to say that anymore. But we are in 2021 and we are really excited that today, right now, we are meeting in the church building at 9 o'clock and 11. And so if you're watching this at home and you didn't know that, either turn this off, get in the car and go, or next Sunday we'll see you in person. There's no need to register. Just come down for 9 and 11. And obviously all the safety precautions that are needed are there, but we'd love to see you. But if you don't feel comfortable or if this place is better for you, we'll still be doing this for the near future. And we'll have people typing to you. You can comment. And we want to reach out as much as you reach out to us as well. A couple of things before Pastor Mark talks about our new series on humility. Today, it is the 10th of January, 2021, and we are starting the year as we always do with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And that starts today and it ends on the 31st of January. So if you knew that, well done. If you didn't, drop everything you have right now. Throw the coffee out the window. No, just joking. And we are going to be humbling ourselves and seeking the Lord in these 21 days because we are all desperate to fall more in love with Jesus. And one of the ways you can do that is by coming to different events that we have at the church. If you don't have the app, can I encourage you to go to the app, the new app? And the way you do that is go to the app store or wherever you find apps and type in Tithely, and that's spelled T-I-T-H-E.L-Y. And you download the app and it'll ask you to find the local church near you. You hit the River Church and it magically turns into the River Church app. It's a really cool app that Pastor Jill's been working on and it's really cool. Has all the information on there. And if that's too confusing for you, go to trcdurango.com and you'll find out all the information about how to download the app and all of the stuff about giving and attendance and all of our events will be found on there. Lastly, youth group is back this Tuesday and Wednesday. So Roots Crew, I'll see you there. Tuesday high schoolers at 6 o'clock as always. And Wednesday middle school crew, 6 o'clock as always in the underground. And the leaders are so excited to have you. Now, before we hear Mark talking about humility, I wonder if we can just have a moment of just humbling ourselves and getting our hearts ready to hear this message. The next series on this fasting is going to be about humbling ourselves, praying and seeking and turning from our wicked ways and looking at the face of Jesus. So Jesus asked right now, I ask that we humble ourselves in this moment as we are ready to hear from Mark this message, and that we can humble ourselves and seek after you, which will ultimately change our priorities, our worldview, and will be full more in love with the God that you are. And we pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hey, well, thank you, Andy, for opening things up this morning. And I want to just say to all of you, good morning and welcome to TRC Online. I'm just so glad that you're joining us here via the internet as we are kicking off our fast. You know, every first of the year, we do this, and this is an exciting time. I want to just show you this card that we are going to be using, and I want to invite you to come by the church and pick one up. Today, during our live services in the building, we are handing out these cards to everyone that attends church today. So this card, the back of it has a few different things. What I'm fasting, and that could be your, you know, the food that you're not eating or the caffeine that you're not consuming, you know, whatever you're fasting, you just write that down in the beginning in the top of it. And then it says, what am I praying for personally? I want to just let you know that we want to have a space where you can write this stuff down and that you can be reminded of it and put it on your fridge, right? This is a place where you can tack it up and just be reminded so that you're like, maybe I don't want to eat that food right now, you know, because it's on your fridge. But then on the very last section of it, it says, what are we praying for as a church? And I want to just read that to you. This morning it says, to humble ourselves as we pray and seek the Lord so that we can repent from the things that are separating us from Him and grow closer to God through the process. Now that sounds pretty familiar, right? It sounds a lot like 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want to read that to you just really quick. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. Now, to really get into that verse, I want to invite you to go back a week and check out what I spoke on last week online. And if you want to know more about the fast that we're starting, that was a couple of weeks ago. Getting everybody ready for all of this stuff takes some time. And if you're joining us for the first time today, you are actually joining us in the beginning of our new series talking about humbling ourselves, seeking and praying, and then repenting. And so this morning, I get to talk to you guys about this very thing of humbling ourselves. But before I get started there, I want to just let you know that as we are starting church back up here in the building, and as we are just doing things a little bit different in this new season, I want to invite you to partner with us. This is a great ministry that we have going on in the live stream and the videoing and the recording and all of this stuff. It's a great opportunity for other people to partner with us and to get involved. And I want to just invite you, if you have some understanding, some knowledge, or you'd like to learn about how to do this stuff, we could greatly use your expertise, your knowledge, and just to have you be a part of what we're doing here, the process, the reaching out. It'd be a great thing. So won't you partner with us? I'm inviting you right here because this is just this community, this online community, could really use some individuals who know their stuff, filming, recording, sound, lighting, all of this stuff. We could definitely use some more people to be involved. So partner with us. Get involved. Let me know that you're willing or that you want it to help out. You can do that in the comments, or you can just email creative@trcdurango.com, and we'll get back to you on that. So that I just want to say, we'd love to have you partner with us in this incredible outreach ministry of our live stream. So just be thinking and praying about that. So as we get into talking about humility today, I want to start with a story. Let's start with a story of a lion. So I like lions, and I think that they're a pretty amazing creature. And a lion was prowling around and roaming the land one day. And he wanted to know if people thought of him as the king, or if they knew that he was the king, or, you know, he was just kind of wanting to have just some affirmation that he was the king, right? And so he wanted to go find out if people, you know, saw him as the king of the jungle. And you know, he didn't need to go to all the little creatures, you know, the mouse or the, you know, even the zebra or any of those guys. He's like, I got them. But he went to the bear, and he goes to the bear and he goes, hey bear, who's the king? Who's the king of the jungle? And the bear goes, oh, your majesty, without question, you are the king. And he goes, good answer. He goes to the tiger, and he goes to ask the tiger, tiger, who is the king of the jungle? The tiger looks up from the beast that he's eating and goes, well, you are the king of the jungle. Being pretty happy of the answers that he's hearing from these larger creatures, he goes to the elephant. He goes, hey, elephant, who's the king of the jungle? And without a sound or without speaking, the elephant, using his trunk, grabs the lion and starts to throw him all over the place, beating him against the ground, hitting him against trees, throwing him into the air and letting him fall, and picking him up again and throwing him in the water and tromping all over him and stomping on him. And as he lets him go, the lion, beaten and somewhat disappointed, says, look, just because you don't know the answer, it's no reason for you to get mean about it. I mean, really, who is that disillusioned? But you know, if I can be real for a moment, many of us can be that prideful in our lives. Now, it may not be like a lion where we think we're all that, although some people with the pride that they have think that they're greater than God, or think that they're pretty amazing in all the things that they do, and they walk around with this arrogance. But pride can also come in other forms. Pride can keep you silent from saying anything because you might say, well, that person doesn't deserve my forgiveness, or that person, I don't think they're worthy of my attention. Or it can be something like, well, I'm the most humble person that I know, and why would I ever do that? Or you know, they just feel so down and so low about themselves. pride can take on many different forms. And so I really feel that and believe that pride is one of those things that when it creeps into our lives can really be a huge tactic of the enemy to really bring about sin and destruction in our lives. Pride sneaks in there, right? But in order for us to truly follow God, we need to do some inventory today and begin to remove the pride and instead fill it with humility. So the question that I have for us all today is, how does one walk humbly? How do we do it? I mean, because pride is everywhere and it can get in there so subtly. So how can we keep this place, how can we keep ourselves in check doing this inventory and walking in a place of humility? What does it take? Well, to walk humbly, we need to know that it's about authority. Remember that there is a sovereign Lord, and He is so big, and He has created all things, and He is the one that we should be submitting to. In Psalm 74, 12 through 17, it says this. It says, "You set the boundaries of the earth, and You made both summer and winter. Both day and night belong to You. You made the starlight and the sun. You caused the springs and the streams to gush forth, and You dried up rivers that never run dry. You crushed the heads of the Leviathan and let the desert animals eat him. You split the sea by Your strength and smashed the heads of the sea monsters. You, O God, are My King from ages past, bringing salvation to the earth." You're huge. You're amazing. You're giant. You're magnificent. You are great. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are all of these things. When we are talking about authority, we are placing and recognizing God above all else. This idea of humility under authority can be seen in people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were being put before the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar was saying, "Hey, either you worship the statue or you die." And they're going, "No, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it." You see, they were still in their action. They were walking in humility because they were still placing God in that authority place in their lives. Daniel, same thing. He was not going to stop praying to God, even though he was being forced to under the law, right? Under the law of the time, he could not pray to anybody else, but he did pray to God and was then got in trouble for it. But he didn't change who he was serving. He didn't change who he was worshiping. He didn't change who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, even Jesus demonstrated this in the garden when he was praying and he goes, "If this cup can be taken from me, but not my will, your will." You see, even Jesus walked in that authority. But speaking of Jesus, he's also God, right? He's the Son. He's God the Son. And so we need to understand that his authority is great as well. And the Pharisees didn't see it that way. The Pharisees saw him as a disruptor. They saw him as one that was causing trouble, that was coming in and breaking up things that they had established for generations. And so Jesus comes in, he shares this stuff, and they get so frustrated, and they don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. They don't want to believe, agree with, submit to his authority. But let's be real with one thing. How many of us would be like the Pharisees? I think myself in that time would see Jesus as a disruptor as well. I probably would have sided with the Pharisees in their frustration with this guy that was coming in and changing things up. But the reality is, and the beautiful thing is, that we have this idea of hindsight that we can see how Jesus was and that the Pharisees, what they were doing, where it was not okay, and that Jesus was walking in this authority that had been given to him by God. And so he was changing lives. He was healing people. He was setting the prisoners free, right? But the leaders of the day did not see him in that way, and it really affected their leadership. I want to share with you a story of a guy by the name of Steve Sasson. Now, Steve Sasson, I don't know if you've ever heard of that name before, but he is the guy that invented digital photography. He was one of the first creators of the medium of digital photography. This idea that you take a picture with your phone or with a digital camera and you can put it on your TV was a mind-blowing concept in the 70s. It wasn't something that was really a big deal. And so Steve Sasson, he worked for Kodak. Kodak was a major film producer, distributor, developer. I mean, they did the chemicals, they did the film, all of that stuff. Kodak was a big, big deal in the 70s and 80s and earlier. But the thing was is that when he introduced this to the big wigs in Kodak, this is what they said. Print has been with us for over 100 years. No one was complaining about prints. They were very inexpensive. And so why would anyone want to look at their pictures on a television set? They were missing what was about to be transformational in the world. The Pharisees were missing what was going to be transformational in the world. Now, hindsight's 20/20, right? I mean, hindsight is one of those things that we can look back and we can go, wow, I get it. I can learn from this. And I hope that we can learn from this and we can recognize when God is on the move, when God is doing something. And I really feel that as we come under His authority and truly submit to His authority, we will then recognize the move of God and what He's doing. Right? So when we are in that place, we'll know about we'll know about Jesus' lordship. But where does that fit into our life, right? Well, when it comes to having a humble heart before God, we need to recognize His place above ours. And there is no one or thing that can be in that position. Right? Here's the thing about authority that we have to remember. It's not our church. It's not our agenda. It's not our will. It's God's authority. It's God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It has to be His. And when we are walking in that place of authority, things will begin to fall into place and that humble heart will start to grow and that relationship to God will start to grow. So once we acknowledge God in this place, we'll naturally, right, we'll naturally want to do something about it. And so to walk humbly, one needs to know not just about the authority, but one needs to know that it's about action. In Matthew 21, 28 through 30, Jesus is sharing a parable. After He's talked to the Pharisees, He's sharing this parable about two sons. And He says that the first son, the father approached the first son and asked him to do something. And the son said, no, I'm not going to do it. But later, he changed his mind and accomplished the task. He went to the second son and he asked the second son to do it. And the second son said, sure, I'll get it done. But then later, didn't ever do it. You see, the two sons, one said no, but did it. The second son said yes, but didn't do it. You see, when it talks about the son, the first son, who changed his mind, in that verse, verse 29, the Greek word for changed is metamelomai. M-E-T-A-M-E-L-O-M-A-I. And it really, it's more than just changing your mind. It's deeper than that. It's more like having a heart change. And so the first son had that heart change that brought him to a place humbly knowing that I need to take action and actually do it, even though I said that I wasn't going to do it. And so Jesus asks in Matthew 21, verse 31, He goes, which of the two obeyed the father? Now they all say, well, it was the first son. But really, here's the thing about the two sons. They were both wrong. They both did something wrong. The second son, he was just given lip service. The first son initially disobeyed the father and didn't do what the father was asking him to do. But the difference between the two sons is this. The first son had that change of heart and admitted that he was wrong. He admitted that he was wrong and he did something about it and he actually did what the father asked him. Again, let me remind you about pride. Pride can get in the way of admitting when we're wrong, right? Well, it's not my fault. It was theirs. I mean, how often do we try to justify our actions, even though they were wrong? How often do we try to justify them because we are just still so angry with the other person? Pride is holding us in that place, and we want to get rid of pride. We want to remove pride if we're going to walk humbly and to get closer in our relationship to God. But when we admit when we're wrong, we take this action of admitting we're wrong, and we start to own the junk that we've done, right? And it can bring us closer in our relationships with God, but it also can bring us closer in our relationships to one another. You know, I have to confess that there is three words that I say quite a bit to Jill. And that's what? That's, I'm sorry, dear. I'm sorry, Jill. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've said I'm sorry so many times. And in some of the things that I've done, I am a repeat offender. And I continue to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Jill, I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, the thing is that Jill has gotten so frustrated with this, done with this action, that she said this to me. She goes, don't just say the words. Do something and show the words. Do something that shows the words. Don't just say them. Do them. Now, that's humility in action, right? Don't just say it. Do something with it. You see, I'm admitting to myself, and I'm admitting to all of you guys that I've walked this out so many times, that, but truly, I want to be the husband to her that when I do something wrong and I apologize for it, that I actually make the change in my heart and in my actions that show and demonstrate to her that I've actually changed. So you see, it's not just about lip service. It's about having a heart change. So to walk humbly, we walk and understand that it's under an authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we are doing that place of walking in that authority, then we are taking action steps to change our life, to get closer to the Lord. But here's the deal. The first two aspects are great and they're important, but they won't fully mature unless we take in this last aspect to our lives. And to walk humbly, we need to know that it's about attitude. If we don't have a good attitude in all of this stuff, it's going to get messy. I mean, if we don't have a good attitude, we're not going to understand the authority and the kingship of God, and we're definitely not going to take action. Our attitude, our hearts have to be in the right place. It's our attitude. If our attitude is in the wrong place, we won't follow through. In Romans 8, 5 through 7, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Here's the deal. Where the mind goes, the body will follow. It's our attitude. If our attitude is on selfish gain, we will be plotting to make things go our way. You remember last week I talked about abiding? You see, this whole idea of having this attitude towards God, this attitude of walking humbly, there's a big aspect to abiding, right? That's to fill our minds. As we fill our minds, as we change our attitude, as we fill our minds with following after God, it directs our wills, and it eventually will transform our attentions, and it will transform our actions. Our attitude will need to be focused on abiding in the Lord if we are to walk humbly. And a great way to create the habit is to mentally put others first. And not just mentally, but I believe physically putting others first. But when we're changing our attitude, we need to start having that heart change, and that mindset needs to change. And so mentally begin to put others first. In Philippians 2, 3 and 5, 3 through 5, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Jesus is, as always, the very best example of this, right? And it goes on to say in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus put all humanity first, so that we could come back in relationship with God. He demonstrated this mentality, this attitude, this idea that I will put others first. I am submitting to God the Father. Now, he's God the Son, right? He's God, but he's submitting to the Father aspect of who God is. And he's submitting to God the Father, and he's putting himself under that authority, and he's walking it out every day with an attitude of a servant. It's a beautiful thing. And he died on a cross and rose again with the heart of a servant so that you and I could have relationship, could have a growing, closer relationship with God the Father. So we could come back to God. It's amazing what Jesus did for us. It's amazing how Jesus demonstrated humility, even though he didn't have to. He could just come in and say, follow me, I'm God, do what I say. He could have done that, but he walked it out. He demonstrated it through humility. And I want to encourage all of you today to begin to do inventory in your life, to think about the pride that snuck in and how you need to get rid of that and fill your heart with humility. Let's do that today. This year, let's get closer to God. This year, as we fast, let's humble our hearts. This year, as we fast, let's just press in on that relationship with the Father. It is so good and so necessary for us in our day in, day out life to have a deeper, more enriched, fulfilled relationship with God. So would you do that with me this month? Would you partner with us as we are fasting? And my prayer for us today and throughout this fast, as it should be that we're all praying this for the church during the fast, right? My prayer is to humble ourselves as we pray and seek the Lord so that we can repent from the things that are separating us from Him and grow closer to God through the process. Man, I'm excited for what God's going to do during this fast. I'm excited for the reports that you have, the testimonies of what God's going to be doing in your lives during the fast. And I look forward to seeing what God is going to do overall in 2021. Well, let me close in prayer and we'll seal it up for today. God, thank you first for your love for us and for sending your Son to die on that cross and be resurrected from the dead. Thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. Would you help us, Lord? Help us to acknowledge that you are the King of Kings. We say, Lord, with our mouths, may it not just be lip service, but may it be heart change. May it be active. May it be action in our lives as we change our attitude. And in that attitude, we recognize you as our King, and our actions follow that. We love you, Lord. We submit these things to you. And God, would you be with us and give us the strength to walk out the fast in each and every way that we are being called by you to do. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen, guys. Well, hey, I'll see you here next Sunday at 9. But until then, hang tough with the fast. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.